COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's Mondays with Roger. I'm Mark Reed Edwards, along with Roger Entner, and it's been an action-packed couple of weeks, Roger. Lots of stuff happening.
Hello, Mark. Yes, absolutely. It has been a whirlwind of activity, tectonic shifts, with the Department of Justice approving the Dish T-Mobile Sprint transaction, which, if it's according to the will of T-Mobile and the Department of Justice, will lead to Dish becoming a new wireless carrier replacing Sprint, which will be integrated into T-Mobile.
Can you go into the various components of this deal? It reminds me in basketball or other sports where there's a multi-team trade and it can get really complicated. Can you just go into the components of this?
Yes, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. There is so much trading going on. What is happening? As a backdrop, one of the big concerns of the Department of Justice was that it wanted to continue to have four network-based operators that offer nationwide service. And with Sprint going away, there would be only three. So it had to conjure up a fourth provider. And Charlie Ergen and Dish enters the stage from the right, correct?
Yeah.
So basically what happens is that Dish gets Sprint's prepaid business, both Boost as well as Virgin Mobile, yeah, as well as Sprint prepaid. That's about 9.3 million customers. The problem is it's a customer base that's in distress because Boost, for example, lost more than a quarter of its distribution points.
Wow.
And with that, it loses also the customers that come from this distribution points. So also Virgin has been languishing and lost customers over the years, and Sprint prepaid as well, because there is no prepaid in Japan. And so SoftBank didn't believe in it, and so Sprint didn't invest in it. So that forms the nucleus of Dish's entry in the wireless business. And they will get access to the T-Mobile and Sprint network for up to 7 years and 3 years for the Sprint network. As that gets wound down,
mm-hmm,
Dish will also get the option to buy Sprint's 800 megahertz licenses, which will allow Dish, if and when it becomes a wireless operator, to actually deliver signals very easily into the home. The problem is it's just 14 megahertz and even less on the borders, which is important in San Diego, El Paso, Detroit, and places like that, where you're even more bandwidth constrained. And so they have the opportunity to do that. Also, Dish gets the option to take over decommissioned sites and retail locations from T-Mobile and Sprint. Once they have gone through and picked the best sites and picked the best stores, so Dish can pick up the leftovers and see if it might fit there.
This is kind of an earth-shattering watershed moment in the world, I think. And it sees the retirement of a name that has been around since the 1980s, Sprint.
Yes, Sprint has been one of the very first to launch a wireless network in the United States. It's an end of an era. And it's the beginning of a new one if Dish actually will launch, because they said and they committed to building a 5G network, but it's a 5G standalone network. The problem with that is that standard hasn't been finalized yet.
Yeah.
So nobody, we have a good idea what's in it, but there's no standard, so there's no equipment. And so they have to wait until that is done. At the same time, the clock is ticking because Dish has bought spectrum at auction several years back and hasn't built out. And there's a build-out requirement. So by June 2023, it needs to build a 5G network with at least 35 megabits per second covering 70% of the country. Also, it has to build its AWS 700 megahertz and H-block licenses to cover over 50% of the country also by 2023. And then they get another two-year build-out extension.
Yeah.
And one of the genius things here is how Charlie Ergen actually played with the folks in Washington. And he got the build-out extensions extended again and again and again. And he got it much easier because, you know, for example, with the 70%, he doesn't have to do it by license area, but nationwide, which is a lot easier to do.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. You know, some of the doubters are saying this is just a smart way of Charlie Ergen and Dish to buy another 3 years of time to sell their spectrum and that they're not going to build out. Because building out will be very, very expensive.
And it's one thing to buy the assets. It's another thing to do something with it. It's hard to do that.
Absolutely. And Dish doesn't have a lot of people with wireless experience. And selling wireless is substantially different to selling satellite television or even streaming video services. And, you know, we have full employment. Yes, Sprint is laying off people, Verizon is laying off people, but it's the people that it doesn't want anymore.
Right.
And so the people on the market are the cast-offs from others. There are a few executives who might take it, but if we take Sprint, Sprint hired foreign executives for a reason, because it couldn't get the executives in the United States of the caliber that it needed.
Right.
So it is quite difficult to do. And, you know, AT&T, Verizon are spending $10, $15 billion a year on improving their existing networks. If you look at the new T-Mobile, we'll spend roughly in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's roughly what Dish will have to spend year after year after year to be competitive. Because Sprint is the cautionary tale. What happens if you spend a fraction of the capital expenditure that is needed to keep pace?
Yeah.
And so when Dish says, oh, we'll build the network for $10 billion, then I'm like, yes, but you will build it year after year after year, those $10 billion. It's not a one and be done. It's a continuous maintenance $10 billion.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
So why did T-Mobile want to do this deal? Because they seem to have been ascendant for the last couple of 3 years, 4 years, have been doing pretty well. So what was in it for them?
Well, T-Mobile has the 22nd continuous quarter of record growth in the industry. So it's not two, three, it's more than five.
Yep.
They are really on a rampage in the industry. And it's much more Sprint wanting the deal than T-Mobile. For T-Mobile, it was a nice to have.
Yeah.
It's access to more spectrum, you get more customers. But T-Mobile was taking these customers, dead or alive, from all the carriers. And so from that perspective, for them, they could take it or leave it. And so they drove a pretty good bargain for themselves. It's Sprint that lost interest and faith, and especially in the shape of SoftBank chairman Masa Son, who lost interest being a wireless carrier, but wants to run the Vision Fund, is interested in connectivity and AI and these things. And you can also see that in Japan, he sold part of the SoftBank network. So from that perspective, it's a carrier that didn't get the funding anymore. And T-Mobile was like, fine, I'll take it. Because both Verizon and AT&T were too large to buy them. So the only one left over at the altar was actually T-Mobile.
What do you think are the implications of this deal on AT&T and Verizon?
Well, for AT&T and Verizon, it certainly doesn't get easier, right? Mm-hmm. You have a supercharged competitor now with substantially more spectrum than they have in the very valuable low and mid bands. So it will mean continued investment, hoping that the integration of Sprint into T-Mobile will be painful, like the Sprint and Nextel merger, and that T-Mobile somehow loses its way. But T-Mobile integrated Metro PCS extremely well. It was one of the best integrations I've seen. And things are going to get harder rather than easier. You have the guy that is kicking records for 5 years in a row now with more weapons in its tools.
Yeah.
But we're not done yet. Because even though the federal government approved it, 14 states did sue against it before that approval. And then the decision came and a lot of people said like, oh, the deal that the DOJ made was unexpected. And I'm sure that the states will now settle. And lo and behold, on Thursday, Texas joined the lawsuit.
Wow.
So not only 14 Democratic attorney generals are objecting to it, but now a Republican attorney general is objecting to it. So this threw a complete wrench into the theories that, oh, it's a done deal and it's a rearguard action and they'll settle. Oh, this goes to trial. And now the trial got delayed till December. Yeah. It will be very interesting. And for somebody like Dish, the time is ticking. Right?
Yeah.
The deadlines for their build-out are fixed.
Yeah.
So it will be very, very interesting.
Is there anything else going on? Seems like enough.
Well, yeah. And Dish laid out that it wants to build like this whole fully virtualized network. And then we also had earnings, right?
Yeah.
As I mentioned, T-Mobile had 710,000 postpaid phone net adds, which was more than twice what AT&T and Verizon had together. And Sprint lost actually customers. So it's another of these many, many quarters where T-Mobile grew faster than the rest of the industry combined. AT&T had some modest growth. Verizon had some modest growth. Sprint, as I mentioned, was losing. TracFone, the prepaid giant, lost customers. Only Comcast and Charter, who are MVNOs currently on Verizon's network, added customers as well. 181,000 and 208,000 respectively. So that is interesting.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, T-Mobile grows faster than everybody else combined. Churn comes down. We saw record low churn again. So people seem to be happy with where they are. But yeah, handset sales went down again. So the handset replacement cycle expanded. But yeah, those were the earnings in a nutshell.
It's an interesting kind of mixed bag, isn't it?
It is. And it's an extremely competitive industry that Dish is getting itself into. It's the first new network for more than 20 years. And they're going to play with the big guys and starting with 9 million customers compared to 70 to 110 million customers.
How are they going to do that? It just seems like such a heavy lift to, first of all, get the talent in place to run a company like that, and then actually do the technical stuff that you need to do to build a network like that. It just seems like a really heavy lift.
It's a really, really heavy lift, and especially at a boom time for all the vendors.
Yeah.
Who is going to do all that work? Because all of the suppliers, all of the engineers, all of the people who are installing things are working overtime. Nobody's sitting on their hands not doing anything. And for Dish to get enough capacity to really speed up and do this will be very difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult and expensive. So maybe the cynics and the doubters are right that this gives Dish another 3 years to sell its spectrum, right?
Yeah, maybe that's the end game.
Yeah. So, which would be amazing, because then all of the plans of mice and men in the Department of Justice were doomed to fail, and we end up only with three nationwide carriers. So it will be very interesting. So I think that's the fear that the attorney generals have, that this is just a charade. So we'll see. It will be very interesting. Charlie Ergen talks a really good game.
Yeah. It does seem a little bit like a Hail Mary pass.
It is. If the cable companies would have had the opportunity to take over these licenses and customers, and they actually have the funding for it. The complication for Dish is their core business is satellite television and streaming video. Yes, streaming video is gaining, but satellite television is hemorrhaging customers.
Yeah.
But nobody's making money in the distribution game. When you look at the financials, you're getting really scared. Because if you draw a line between, say, last year's and this year's profitability at Dish, in 3 years, they're going to be unprofitable.
Yeah.
So with what money are they going to spend $10 billion year after year after year for that? When they start with 9 million prepaid customers without a lot of distribution. And a store costs between $1 million and $2 million. And they are probably 2,000 carrier-branded stores behind. And there's a reason why wireless carriers have their own store network, because the customers that they get from it are much better. They stay longer, pay more money, are happier. And just on the stores, it's somewhere between $2 and $4 billion. Good luck.
Yeah. I get the sense that on Mondays with Roger, we could have a Dish corner every week and just track what's going on with them.
We'll certainly keep an eye on them, just like everybody else. Because what was also interesting, another new entrant will be Altice, which, interestingly enough, had a very attractive MVNO deal with Sprint, where Altice has actually control over its core, and they didn't register the customers, but they first recognized $40 million in expenditures.
Yeah.
So that means Altice is going to sell wireless to their cable customers in a few months.
Well, it's an interesting world to track, and that's why we're here with Mondays with Roger. Well, we'll see you all next week.
See you next week.